In this video, I want to share with you a remarkable story I came across just recently in a very ancient text. And this is a modern edition by a guy called Bede. And the book is called The Ecclesiastical History of the English People. Now, Bede was a monk who lived in northeast England, and he wrote this book in AD 731. So it's just a century after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. And this is a very famous book. And he was a scholarly monk working in northeast England. And he wrote this very famous book. And it starts with the invasion of Julius Caesar in Britain in the first century BC. And he recorded the history of the English up to his own day, describing in particular their conversion and the spread of Christianity. And many of the events of Anglo-Saxon England, we only really know from Bede's book, actually. So it's a very detailed account of the 8th century and before that. But in this remarkable book is an extraordinary story, which I think is really worth sharing today, has great contemporary relevance to us in 2023, actually. And as you'll see when we go through it, it's a story about sin, about judgment, about demons, angels, death, and how all this is relevant to us today. And this story I'm going to read to you, if you're a Muslim or you know about Islam, will ring lots and lots of bells. And at the end, inshallah, I will read a hadith and a relevant bit of the Quran, actually, which really speaks powerfully to what Bede is talking about. So this is a very important story, which I think really speaks to us today. So I'll just read to you what Bede, this monk, this Christian monk has written in his book in chapter 13. He writes the following. There was a man in the Mercian kingdom. Mercian kingdom is kind of like a bit of England now that existed before England as a nation came to be later on. There was a man in this kingdom whose visions and words, but not his way of life, profited many, but not himself. He lived in the time of Senred, Athred's successor. This is about several years before the time of Bede. And he was a layman holding military rank. But however much he pleased the king by his outward industry, he displeased him by his inward negligence. The king warned him constantly to make confession, to confess his sins, to mend his ways, to give up his sins, before sudden death robbed him of all opportunities of repentance and amendment. But though he was frequently warned, he spurned this salutary advice, always promising that he would repent at some future time. Meanwhile, he fell sick and took to his bed, suffering cruel pains. The king, who loved him greatly, went into him and urged him to repent of his wickedness even then, before he died. He answered that he did not wish to confess his sins then, but only when he had recovered from his illness, lest his companions should accuse him of doing, for fear of death, something he would not do when he was in good health. He imagined that he was speaking brave words, but, as afterwards was apparent, he had been miserably deceived by the wiles of the devil. Now, this is where the story, I think, gets really interesting. And when I first read this story, like, you know, the hairs in the back of my neck, oh, my God, this is a quite, you know, really freaky story, actually. But boy, does it ring true in many ways, I think. So Bede continues. As his disease grew worse, the king came again to see him and reason with him. But he called out at once in wretched tones, "What do you want now? Why have you come? You can do nothing to help or save me now." The king answered, "Do not talk like that. Behave like a sane man." "I am not mad," he said. "But I know the worst, and I have seen it clearly." "And what is that?" the king asked. "A short time ago," he said, "two most handsome youths came into my house and sat down near me, one at my head and one at my feet. One of them drew out a very beautiful but exceedingly small book and gave it to me to read. On looking into it, I found all the good deeds I'd ever done written down. But they were very few and trifling. They took the volume back but said nothing to me. Then, suddenly, there appeared an army of evil spirits with horrible faces. They surrounded the outside of the house, also filling almost the whole of the interior, and they too sat down. Then the one who seemed to be the chief among them, judging by his dark and gloomy face, and by the fact that he occupied the chief seat, took a volume of enormous size and almost unbearable weight, horrible to behold, and ordered one of his followers to bring it to me to read. On reading it, I found all my sins written down very clearly, but in hideous handwriting. Not only my sins of word and deed, but even my slightest thoughts. He said to the glorious white-robed men who sat by me, "Why do you sit here since you know that this man is certainly ours?" They said, "You speak the truth. Take him away to help make up the number of the damned." With these words, they immediately disappeared. Then two very wicked spirits who had daggers in their hands struck me, one on the head and one on the foot. These daggers are now creeping into the interior of my body with great torment, and as soon as they meet, I shall die, and as the devils are all ready to seize me, I should be dragged down into the dungeons of hell. And by the way, what I find interesting about this story about the daggers are creeping into the interior of his body. They're moving ever closer. And as soon as they meet, he will die. This kind of theme is found in Lord of the Rings, of course, in Tolkien's great work, where this idea of daggers are leading to someone's death. The theme is there. So I think Tolkien, who was professor of Anglo-Saxon literature, and this is an Anglo-Saxon book, of course, written by an Anglo-Saxon, although it's in Latin, he would have known this story. So I think he borrowed the theme and put it in Lord of the Rings. I think what I thought was a fictitious story actually it comes from a story that may well have been true, as we read in Bede. So that's an interesting connection there. Anyway, back to Bede. He says, in conclusion, "Thus spoke the wretched man in his despair, and not long afterwards he died. Now he suffers everlasting and fruitless punishment in torment because he failed to submit for a brief spell to the penance which would have brought him the fruit of pardon." In other words, in ordinary English, he failed to confess his sins and repent of his sins and receive the forgiveness of God. From this, it is clear, as the blessed Pope Gregory writes about certain people, that he saw this vision not for his own benefit, because he didn't profit from it, but for the sake of others, so that they, hearing of his fate, may fear to put off their time of repentance while they still have the opportunity, and not be cut off by sudden death and die impenitent. And of course, Bede's words refer even to us many, many centuries later, I would think. "As for the various books he saw offered him by good and evil spirits, this was done by divine providence, so that we may remember that our thoughts and deeds are not scattered to the breeze," in other words, not lost forever, "but are all kept to be examined by the great judge," that is God, of course, "and we will be shown and will be shown us at our end, either by friendly angels or by our foes. First, the angels offered a white book, and then the devils offered a black book. The angels, a very small one. The devils, an enormous one. And it should be noted that in his early years, he did some good deeds, which he completely obscured by doing evil in his early maturity. If, on the other hand, he had trouble to correct the errors of childhood in his youth, hiding them from God's eyes by well-doing, by doing good things, he might have been able to associate himself with the company of those whom the psalmist says, "Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." So Bede here is quoting from the Psalms of David in the Bible. And then he concludes, "I thought I ought to tell this story simply, just as I learned it from the venerable Bishop Petham, for the benefit of those who read or hear it." End quote. So that's the Venerable Bede. And of course, Muslims and those who know about Islam, I think, will be struck by many of these themes. They're not unfamiliar. And I'm just going to read a short hadith from the famous collection of 40 hadith by al-Nawawi, where there's an authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah, upon whom be peace, said, "Fear Allah wherever you are and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, which will wipe it out, and interact with people with good manners." So follow up a bad deed with a good deed, which will wipe it out. That's exactly what Bede says. If only this man had followed up his bad deeds in his later life with good deeds, they would have wiped it out and made a big, big difference in that tiny little book of good actions versus this enormous book of evil actions. And maybe things would have been quite different. And this, of course, was said just 100 years before Bede tells his story. So, and the last thing I wanted to share with you is some words from the Quran. I'm going to be reading from this English translation, the Clear Quran. And this is God speaking, of course. "Indeed, it is we who created humankind and fully know what their souls whisper to them, and we are closer to them than their jugular vein. As the two recording angels," I've already mentioned them, "as the two recording angels, one sitting on the right and the other on the left, note everything. Not a word does a person utter without having a vigilant observer ready to write it down." So this is where we get the books from, the books of evil deeds and good deeds. The angels, the recording angels, which every human being has, write them down. Then God continues. Ultimately, this is the 50th surah, verse 16 onwards, by the way. "Ultimately, with the throes of death will come the truth." As we've seen in Bede's story, the truth is revealed. We had a vision by divine providence ahead of time, but the truth came about. "This is what you are trying to escape," says God, "and the trumpet will be blown. This is the day you were warned of," as indeed the man was warned of this. The king warned him. "Each soul will come forth with an angel to drive it and another to testify. It will be said to the denier," like this man, "you were totally heedless of this. Now we have lifted this veil of yours, so today your sight is sharp." And one's accompanying angel will say, "Here is the record ready with me." It will be said to the angels, "Throw into hell every stubborn disbeliever, withholder of good, transgressor, and doubter, who set up another with God, another God with God. So cast them into the severe punishment," in other words, hellfire, end quote. That's ending with verse 25 of the 50th surah. So I think this is an extraordinary confirmation of the truth of this providential vision that this man was given, sadly not for his own benefit. He refused to repent and take heed, to be aware of his destiny. But the message was given, as Bede says, not for his benefit really, but for ours. All those people over the centuries who have read this book, Bede's Ecclesiastical History, as I say, he died, well, this book was written, I should say, in 731. and the millions of people who have read this story in the world since then. And it's confirmed the truth of this particular story, I think, is confirmed by the Hadith and the Quran itself. And I think this is an incredible warning to us today to take very seriously our deeds, our good deeds and our bad deeds, how we can wipe out our bad deeds with good deeds, and how we should be mindful of our deaths and the what happens after death when we will be confronted with the truth about our lives. So I just wanted to share with you that remarkable story of this man in the 8th century England. Until next time.